Do you love your Bible? How many people here love their Bible? Give me an amen.
Amen.
All right. Say it like you mean it. How many people love their Bible?
Amen.
All right. How many people are truly affected by their Bible?
Amen.
Before you say amen, you better make sure. Amen. My sermon title this morning is, Are You Affected? Or this afternoon, sorry. I can't tell time, can I? Are you affected? Turn with me to your Bible, your King James Bible. If you don't have one, there's some on the back, and we'll get you one. Turn it to 2 Corinthians, please. And in my church, if I take off my jacket and roll up my sleeves, that means I'm getting to the nitty-gritty, and my church family goes, uh-oh. So guess what? Uh-oh.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to take off my jacket. Let's all stand for the respect of God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want you just to follow along with me because I'm going to probably stop a couple of times and preach part of my message as we go, but it won't be long. Amen? Well, that part, until you sit down. Then it'll be long. All right, verse 16, we're going to start. It says, Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, let's read verse 17 together. I want to read that one together. Ready? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, I like that word now. I want you to circle, if you mark your Bible, I want you to circle the word now. In other words, hold on, here it comes. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made himself to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our Heavenly Father, I ask you today to help us to learn how to have our Bible affect us the right way and the only way. Lord, I pray today you would help us let all our past go, let all the discouragement go, and just encourage ourselves that we have the book, your words in our hands. Help us, Lord, not to have a Catholic mentality, but help us to have a Christian mentality. Lord, help us not to just crack open the book on Sunday and Wednesday night. Help us to crack open the book every day. I pray today you just forgive me for my shortcomings where I failed you. And give me your Spirit today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Sunday night I'm preaching in my church. Marks of Maturity series, the Mom series. And I'm making a statement. The reason why I did that series is there are too many baby Christians that are living a life that have been saved a long time, but they're still baby. In other words, God wants you to grow up. He wants you to grow up. How many people have been saved under a year? Raise your hand, please. Under 5 years, raise your hand. How many people have been saved under 10 years? Between 5 to 10 years. Is there anybody here saved?
Amen.
All right. How many people have been saved? How long have you been saved? 15?
13.
How long have you been saved, young lady? You saved? Get saved.
and in no other life like it. Amen. You talk to mama and daddy, and they'll tell you, show you how to be saved. There ain't no other life like it. I'll tell you that. I got to baptize my last daughter a couple weeks ago in a pool, and I'll tell you, she is happy. How long have you been saved, young man? 14 years. Young man, I'm putting you on the spot. Are you saved? Don't know? Get saved. How long have you been saved?
18.
18? 2. Good. I'm picking on you. Come here. Hot dog. Can I pick on your wife?
You have permission.
Thank you. If I come back and you have a black eye the next time, I know what happened. All right. 2 years. How many people have been saved over 20 years besides me? How long have you been saved, young lady?
7.
How long have you been saved, sir? Not saved? Get saved. How long have you been saved? 15? Come here. All right. Good. We're going to pick on these two folks. All right. Do you love your Bible?
Amen.
Okay? If you love your Bible, you will read it.
That's right.
Okay? You're a newlywed, right?
That's correct.
Poor, poor lady. Did he ever write you a love letter?
A couple of them, yeah.
Couple? You wretched man. Did you read them?
I did, yeah.
You did? Do you still have them?
Mm-hmm.
Girls keep them. Okay? They do. They keep them. My wife has ours categorized. You know, it's the whole thing. Now, do you ever read them now, even though you're married?
No, not
really? Okay. Yeah. Now, you've been saved a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You've been just got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read through your Bible at least once?
More than once.
More than once? Have you read through your Bible at least once?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. New Christian probably reads more of the Bible more than old Christian. Sorry. It's a true fact. Because we have gone, I've been saved 20, this year will be 25 years. 25 years. You know, I'll tell you something. If I wasn't a preacher, I probably wouldn't read my Bible as much as I do. I probably wouldn't. Why? It's just nature of fact. It's called sin. But we got a young lady who just got saved. Everything's brand new, fresh to her. We got a man who is an old geezer in the ministry, in salvation. And by the way, it usually at 15 years old, trying to find somebody who's saved longer than 20 or 30 or 40, 50 years is very hard, because usually they're all gone to heaven by now. But this young lady needs to read her Bible just as much as this older gentleman does. By the way, y'all need to read your Bible just as much as your preacher does. Amen? Thank you. Have a seat, two folks. The Bible, minus about 25 to 30 verses, is written to the saved folks. If you're not saved here, there's only really 25 to 30 verses written to you, and those have to deal with salvation. But I would like you, each of you, to take your pen, please, and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. I want you to take a pen. I really do. I want you to do this, because if you don't have a pen, steal one off the person next to you. I want you to take this, and I want you to put dear and your first name in front of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Dear, who needs a pen?
You need a pen?
Not your Bible? All right. Dear and then your name. Okay? Trust me. Did you do it the last time I was here?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Write her down. Dear and whatever. And then turn to the back to the book of Revelation, and to the last verse of Revelation, where it says Amen. And I want you to put love Jesus. Just as this young lady, what's your first name again?
Christine.
I forget your name. I always say poor girl, because she's married to him. And sorry, brother, I love you. But the Bible is God's love letter to you. And I'll tell you something. How many people? I got this new Bible. My mom bought me this brand new Bible, and man, it smells good. It's my preaching Bible. I don't use it for anything but when I preach. But the Bible really is a wonderful book. When you get a brand new Bible, man, it's like you're like a kid at Christmas. Remember when you were older and you got Christmas morning, and when you were younger, sorry, and Christmas morning, you couldn't wait to get downstairs.
I remember one Christmas morning, my parents, they just went to bed at 3 o'clock. We woke them up at 3:30 in the morning. Merry Christmas! And we come running down the stairs. My parents are going, I'm going to kill you. We couldn't wait. What's the first thing you grab for in the morning after you want to take your alarm clock and rifle it across the room? My alarm clock's my BlackBerry, so I don't rifle across the room. It's an expensive alarm clock if I break it. But seriously, what's the first thing you reach for? What's the first thing you long to do? See, the Bible says that thy word, that's the Bible, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It doesn't say thy sports net magazine. It doesn't say thy Cosmopolitan magazine, ladies. It doesn't say thy TV guide. If there is any more such thing as TV guide, I don't know anymore. But it doesn't. It says thy word. What's thy word? The Bible. You know, I was at Bible college, there was a guy who lived next door to me. He sat there and he stewed through chapel every Sunday or every day. We had church service every day. We had 8 church services on Sunday. 8. Wednesday we had 2. We had our chapel and our Bible study at our home church. We had a lot of preaching. Man, the Bible was evident in through Bible college. But this guy, the cream of the crop, he was a pastor's kid. He sat there and through Bible class, through chapel like this. He did not let the Word of God affect him. Do you know what he's doing right now? I Googled it. I actually emailed his dad. I said, hey, what's so-and-so doing? He says, he's in jail for killing his wife. Wow! And he was at Bible college. My Bible college class, there is only 2 of us that are my class that I 3 of us that are serving God. 2 as pastors, one's at the college on staff. Why? Because we let the Bible affect us. And I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible, the light of my pathway to shine that makes me so happy, always so happy, God's wonderful book, divine. You say, how can you read that? You ever read a portion of Scripture and you go, you're an idiot. I've read a portion of Scripture. I was sitting over there and, I kind of wasn't following you. Because I kind of flipped to a portion of Scripture, the Holy Spirit kind of. And I'm like, I wanted to go outside and go, you're an idiot. Duh. Stupid. But that makes me so happy, always so happy, because God unveils where I'm stupid. You say, I don't like the word stupid. Well, I'm preaching, so you have to listen. Amen. The word Bible is a great word. The book Bible is a great book. I prayed that I don't have us Baptists stop having a Catholic mentality. You know, the Catholics, I was talking to, when I was at Bible college, I actually led a Catholic priest to the Lord. I like how God works sometimes. How many of you like how God works sometimes? And really out of the realm. I had a hole in my shoe. I actually pulled I could go like this. My shoe flapped at me. I had my jacket, the zipper broke same day. And this is in Chicago, Illinois. Okay. You think it's cold here? Go there. It's called the Windy City for a reason. And I was cold, and my zipper broke, and I had no gloves because I gave my gloves to a bus kid, and I was cold.
I said, Lord, I said, next door that opens up, somebody invites me and I'm going in. And I'm going to try to win them. Well, I come walking by this Catholic church. And the priest come walking out. He said, son, you look cold. Would you like to come in? I said, sure. I said, God, you sure have a good sense of humor. And I sat down and I was shivering. And we sat in the kitchen of the church. And he said, would you like a cup of tea? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. And he gave me, that's when I first got introduced to peppermint tea. I like peppermint tea, man. It warms you up and it gets you going. Amen. And I'll tell you something. We were talking and he said, son, where are you from? I said, I'm from Canada. Do you know where that is? Because most people in the United States don't know where Canada is, which is just an extra state. And they said, oh yeah. He goes, yes, sir. He said, what brings you here? And I said, I'm from Indiana Church. And he turned white. And I'm talking really white. Because he knew what was coming. He turned whiter than your shirt. Because he knew what was coming. I said, sir, I promised God the next door that opened up, I was going to talk to them about him. So let's talk. Yeah. He goes, okay. And I asked him, and by the way, the reason why I did this is because I love my Bible. I said, sir, why are you sending your people to hell? He looked at me. He goes, excuse me? Who do you think you are? I said, I'm a messenger of God. Who are you? And we got to talking. And I asked him, according to your religion, how do I get to heaven? He said, you got to say your penance and prayers and so many times a day, every day. I said, have you missed one? He said, well, of course everyone's missed one. I said, so I guess you're going to hell. He said, why are you serving a God that hates you so much to send you to hell? So then he said, okay, smart aleck, how do I go to heaven? And I showed him the Bible. And I said, I love this book enough, I'm going to show you because I'm supposed to love your soul. And about 40 minutes later, guess what he did? He said, sir, he said, can we go to the auditorium? I said, sure. He knelt down right behind where he preaches from. He apologized to God for lying to his people. And he said, oh, Lord, I need you. And we got, man, we were singing, Christ is all I need. Man, we were singing. We had a spell. He said, will you come to church tomorrow? Because I'm going to resign before they fire me, I'm going to resign and I'm going to preach to them the gospel, the true gospel, the only gospel, the only gospel. I said, sure. I bought him a King James Bible and I couldn't put two red nickels together, man. I was poor. Now, you know what I'm talking about, the poor boy? I was a poor boy. Man, a Bible college student in a different country, man, I had to pray my money to come in. Man, how do I know how to pray? I read my Bible. I walked with God. Just a closer walk with thee, granted Jesus is my plea. See, I know you folks. I don't know you very well because I don't walk with you. I see you every time that your preacher goes on vacation and he calls me up, or when you guys come down on a Sunday night. I don't see you that often. I know you. And honestly, in this city, if you were at a ball game, I probably wouldn't recognize some of you because there's like, well, the Jays are only drawing 14,000, so I might. But if they were drawing like 30 or 40,000, I might not see you. But my dear friends, do you recognize God through His Word? If God walked through this door today, I believe if He wanted to, He could. I don't think He will, but I believe if He walked through this door right today, sat down, would you recognize Him? I guess I could end right now. That's a good sermon, isn't it? Would you recognize God? But I'm not finished yet. You know, the best way to recognize God is fall in love with Him, and the best way to fall in love with Him is read the love letter that He gave you. See, if the Bible was Doesn't the Bible say, forever thy word is settled in heaven? Does it say that, brother? How long is forever? Till eternity? But how long is forever before us? It's forever. If He cared enough to preserve His word for you that was written a long time ago, don't you think it's important enough for our lives? See, the Catholics are told they're too stupid to understand the Bible, so don't read it. I actually asked that priest, I said, why do you tell your people not to read the Bible? He said, because we don't want them to be duped. He said, let me correct that. We don't want, he said, I'm going to answer that now. I actually asked him after he got saved. He says, we don't want them to know that we're duping them. And they are. I'm not here to pick on Catholics. I'm here to pick on Christians who don't love the Bible. I really am. I'm here to pick on any Christian who does not love their Bible. You should be ashamed of yourself. How would this young lady feel if her husband, if they were still dating and he wrote her a nice, beautiful love letter, or she wrote him a nice, beautiful love letter, put a little perfume on there, put some flower stickers on there, and he read it and he tore it up and threw it in the garbage? How would that make you feel, sister? You would want to punch him in the nose, wouldn't you? And brother, you're Filipino, right? Don't ever upset a Filipino woman. You are in trouble. But we do that to God's Word. We may not throw it in the garbage. We just go home from church and, let's go watch the football game. And we forget where our Bible is until we have to go to church. And then we pick up our Bible, make sure the dust is off, bring her to church. I know where, I have 18 copies of the King James Bible. I know where everyone is. I know where every one of my copies are. Why? It's important to me. By the way, that is not in my notes. See, that's all free. We hold God's very word in our hands. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of soul and spirit. And it is a discerner in thoughts and intents of our hearts. We hold all the keys to every mystery in the world. And yet we don't love it. We come to church and we when the preacher reads the scriptures, we hear like Charlie Brown's teacher. How many people know what Charlie Brown's teacher sound like? Remember Charlie Brown? What did she sound like? Yeah. Charlie Brown, here you go. There's a pen for you. God bless. Oh, sorry. You'll get that after church. Amen. Hold on. Let me get that. And he's Charlie Brown's teacher. There he goes. Charlie Brown's teaser, man, they just wah, 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 wah. And we hear a truth after truth after truth. I know your pastor. He ain't stupid. I don't have, your preacher preached at my conference a couple weeks ago. I don't get stupid people preach for me. Your preacher is right on line. Just as every other preacher, he ain't much to look at, but he's right online. Amen? Do you hear wah, 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 when he preaches? Or do you hear the power of the word that he's preaching? Seriously. See, if you got a bullet hole in your side and you went to the doctor and the doctor says, don't do, and a whole list of things, you'll listen to the doctor, won't you? But the great physician tells us some things and we don't listen. We think we're smarter than God. Newsflash, every one of us is dumber than God. God has forgotten more than we'll ever know. And I don't, God hasn't forgotten anything. So the only thing He forgets is our sins. Bless God. See, we have to have the Bible embedded into our hearts to love it. See, I love my wife. I really do. I love her beyond more than any human being. And there's not a chance I will ever stray from her. And yet Christians stray from the Bible all the time. Why? Because they don't love God. See, I'll be honest with you, just as that young lady has all her husband's love letters, her two, still has them, I have every one of my wife's love letters. Every one. And yeah, I read through them every once in a while. I've done it in a couple of years, but I read through them every once in a while, usually around our anniversary. And you know what? It brings a new, refreshing love to my wife. I read when she was in the I like you stage where she didn't love me yet, and she still liked me, and I read I like you, and I'm sitting there going, that's just gross, man. But you know what? I don't read anything in the Bible where it grosses me out. Even when they disemboweled the dude in the, you know, I like that. That's cool. Yeah. But God's Word is such a great book. It's more than a book. It's a way of life. See, I always preach. I was talking to a couple of people at that thing after the. For those who don't know, I had an opportunity to preach to over 300 people about salvation when that Tim Bosma guy died. And this one lady came up. She says, "Is Tim a hypocrite in church?" And I shocked her. You know what I said? You're right. There are. She kind of looked at me. She goes, "You're not supposed to say that." I said, "Why? It's biblical. It's the truth." She said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, we're supposed to love the Word of God, and many Christians don't." I said, "But let me ask you a question. Do you have a job?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Is there hypocrites at your job?" "Yeah." I said, "Why do you go to work?" She looked at me and she goes, "You're a jerk." I said, "I am, but I am truth. Answer the question. I'm speaking the truth. Answer the question." She couldn't. You know, Christianity is not a religion. See, this is a religion. This is a religion. I was at a Catholic funeral, man. I got my 50-minute workout for a month. Man, up down. That's a religion. And I love the old Bible. That's a relationship. The precious old Bible. Yeah, that's getting to know who He is. See, some years ago in St. Louis, a Christian man was transacting some business with a lawyer, and he turned to go, and as he hesitated, he said to the lawyer, "I have something I've wanted to ask you, but I've been a coward." He said, "Why?" The lawyer replied, "Why?" And he says, "I did not think you were afraid of anything." And he says, "What is the question?" The businessman asked the lawyer to point blank, "Sir, why are you not a Christian?" And I'm asking, if you're not a Christian this morning, why are you not a Christian? The lawyer hung his head and he said, "Is there not something in the Bible that says no drunkard shall have any part of the kingdom of God? You know my weakness." That is not my question," answered the Christian man. "I'm asking you why you're not a Christian." "Well," the lawyer said, "I cannot recall anyone ever asking me if I were a Christian, and I'm not sure anybody ever told me how to become one." You know, there's no greater joy than leading a soul to Christ. There's this lady after the memorial service for Tim Bosma. She's actually a friend of Tim Bosma. She's, you know, those posters that they put up all over Brantford and Hamilton. Her and her husband did it. Paid for the whole thing.
And she came up to me and she said, now Tim Bosma, I believe, was a saved man. His whole testimony says he was a saved man. And I talked about that, of having the peace of God. And you know, from the Bible we can have the we can know from what the Bible says to have the peace of God. And she said, she says, how can I have that? I go, cool. You're an answer to my prayer. She kind of looked at me and she says, what? I said, I got about 3,000 people praying for you right now. She goes, oh. And I showed her how from the Bible she can know for sure to be saved. And guess what? She done did get saved. She bowed her head. She walked away, tears streaming down her face, smiling, and she got changed. Behold, all things become new. Not just some things, all things. Can I really get theological on you right now? The word all means all. Deep. All things become new. The Bible needs to be our the Bible needs to be our guide. You know, there's no substitute for the Bible. None. Not one. I can stand up here and spout off from the Reader's Digest. You ever seen the Reader's Digest Bible? I have. It is a joke. It's a good comedy thing. It has. There is such thing as a Reader's. Now, it didn't last long. I think it was like 3 years and it's gone. I have a digital copy of it somewhere on my PC. It's a joke. The Book of Mormon. I've read that. That's a joke. But the Bible is no joke. I said the Bible is no joke. It is the book of all books. It's the epitome. Do you know the King James Bible, even in the secular world, is still the most number one bestseller in the history of all books? And yet we Christians don't care. Shame on us! Shame on us, Christians. Oh, it sickens me that Christians will get dressed in a shirt and tie and come to church on Sunday and go to, and then Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday during the day. We may come Wednesday night, well, for you guys, us Thursday night, come Wednesday night to our church, nobody won't be there. And then we just don't work, we don't care. Who led you to the Lord, young man?
My father.
Your father? What's your dad's name?
Ken.
Ken? Yeah, he loved you enough to lead you to the Lord, eh? Stop spitting on no, and I'm not saying you because I have no, I don't even know your name. What's your name?
Nicholas.
Did I meet you last summer, sir?
No.
Okay. You knew?
This
okay, good. Amen. Keep him on.
But somebody led him to the Lord. Somebody led, who led you to the Lord?
I was up in
the
opening service and had a word of God and the God was following me.
Amen. Who led you to the Lord?
Some Christian friends that I met through a friend.
Somebody led you to the Lord because they loved the Bible enough to lead you to the Lord. Did you deserve heaven? No. Do you still deserve heaven? No. But by God's grace, we do. What a blessing. Abby, who led you to the Lord? I led my daughter to the Lord. Woo-hoo! Yes. Why? Because I love the Bible. If you love something, you will share it. You'll read it. See, picking up the Bible, let me continue on with the story. Picking up a Bible, the client read some passages showing that all under the condemnation of Christ, but under condemnation, but Christ came to save the lost by dying on the cross at Calvary for all their sins. By the way, I believe Paul Bernardo himself could get saved. The Bible says appointed once a man to die, then comes the judgment. You know when it's too late to get saved? When you're dead. When you're dead. He said, by receiving, the client read, said, by receiving him as our substitute and redeemer, you can be forgiven of all your sins. Are you willing to receive Christ today?
Let's pray together. And the lawyer agreed, and when it was his turn, he exclaimed, "Oh, Jesus, I am a slave to drink. One of your servants has shown me how to be saved. Oh, God, forgive me for my sins and help me to overcome the power of this terrible habit in my life." Giving his testimony later, oh, I love this. Woo! You ever just heard a story and just kind of, this is one of them. Giving his testimony later, this drinking lawyer said, put it down plain that God broke the power of my insanity. Who was this drunken lawyer?
What is that guy's name right there? C.I. Schofield.
That drunkard was this guy that designed this, the layout of this Bible. He loved the Bible. He was a drunkard, but he got saved.
Wow.
Aren't you glad that, and I love the Schofield reference. I don't like the new one, I like the old one. I love the Schofield reference Bible. It is good. But I'm so glad that that businessman led that drunken lawyer to know Jesus Christ. He paid for this out of his own pocket to have it done. Studying the Word of God. Studying the Word of God. Studying. Study to shew thyself approved unto God. I said last time I was here on a Wednesday night, if your preacher read your Bible as much as you read your Bible, would you want him to be your preacher? How many people that gave you a shot to read your Bible a little more? Though I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I hope it did. I hope it did. See, you can go to church, you can give thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to the mission field. But if you don't love your Bible, there's no point in you doing nothing. Because you ain't changed. The old things are passed away. How did the old things pass away? By you reading the Bible. How do you become a new creature? By reading the Bible. How do you become a proper servant for the Lord? By reading the Bible. There's a lot of renegades out there that don't read their Bible. And you know what? They just need to shut up and go away. But there's a lot of Christians that need to read their Bible a little bit harder and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. You know, hey, do you have a Bible reading schedule? I want you to be honest. How many people do not have a Bible reading schedule? Raise your hand. None of you? Y'all have one? You don't have one? You know what? You email me. You get on my website. You email me. And I will email you the Bible reading schedule for the rest of the year. You need to read your Bible. You need to have a schedule to read your Bible. You schedule to go to work, don't you? You got a job?
Yes.
Will you go to work tomorrow?
Yes,
where are you scheduled to go to work? What time?
8:30.
To when?
4:30.
8:30 to 4:30. He's scheduled. Hey, do you schedule to read your Bible? You know what time I'm scheduled to read my Bible tomorrow morning? Probably you ain't even up. Monday mornings, I schedule to read my Bible at 5 a.m. I drive school bus. I got to bring 96 screaming little, lovely little children to school. 5 a.m., I'm up reading my Bible. I drive an hour and 20 minutes with my ABS light on. Why? Because I love my Bible. You're called the preacher. The preacher called you to preach. No, you know what? If I didn't love my Bible, I would have called you up and said, "Hey, I ain't coming. My car is broken." But I love my Bible. I love my Bible. I love my Bible more than my wife, my kids, and my being, because my Bible is the Word of God. It is God in print. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." The word "let" means to allow. You can't let something affect you if you don't read it. Amen? You can't let it affect you.
My daughter is a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. God bless her. Pray for her. She, her team is going to be bowing out in three games. And man, they lost last night. She's still in the morning. Look at her. She says, that affected her. But you know what? I know the Word of God affects her more. I'm a Blue Jay fan. Pray for me. How many people here are Blue Jay fans? Y'all are smart, except me. Amen. I like the Blue Jays, man. They lost at 3 o'clock in the morning. Man, I did not stay up that late, but they lost 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, oh, man. I woke up the next morning. It affected me. But you know what? The Bible affects me. I went to a youth conference. Okay, in case you haven't noticed, I'm not a youth.
Amen. Don't say that. He's picking on me. Throw the riffraff at him.
But I sat there and I listened and I listened and I listened and I listened. You know what? Every message was geared towards youth, but I'll tell you something. I got one thing out of it, and I'll tell you something. It not only affected me, it affected. Actually, I got two things out of it. One was a 30-day of prayer, and the other one was an app on my BlackBerry or my iPad to pray. You say, how does that affect you? It affects me. You know what? You guys are prayed for every morning at 6:15 every morning. Before most youths wipe the sleepy out of your eyes, y'all are being prayed for. Why? Because the Word of God affects me. Why? Because I love my Bible. Why? Because God saved my wretched soul. Number one, we need to let the Word of God affect our faith. Let the Word of God affect your faith. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by your TV channel. By the rock music. By the gossip. No, it says by the Word of God. See, you coming to church, it's building your faith up to go out and go to the lost and dying world and say, hey, you need to be saved. I remember I was downtown. You know where Dundas Square is? I was downtown. And do you remember Gold's Gym? That was downtown many years ago. This guy was like this. It was the summertime. He was wearing a big muscle shirt. Like this, you know, walking down the street like this. And we're handing out gospel tracts. And I gave a gospel tract to him, and he looked at it, and he started walking away quick. I was either brave or stupid, and I think a combination of both. I chased him down. I said, sir, you're a big, burly guy, and you're afraid of the Word of God? He said, yep. I am. I said, you want to not be afraid of it anymore? He said, I'm afraid to go to hell. He got saved. Big, burly guy who probably could have squashed me like a bug. He got saved. It affected my faith. He said, you either got great faith or stupid. I said, combination thereof, sir. He laughed, like you guys didn't, but he did. He thought it was funny. Faith is not produced in trials. Did you know that? Faith is not produced in trials of our lives. It's proven there. And how do we get faith? Faith cometh by? And hearing by the? Amen. See, faith must be produced by the hearing, as that Bible, as the Word of God says. Saving faith comes from the Word of God. Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 32 says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He says, if thou believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then thou shalt be saved. Believe on. We all believe in God. We believe that there's a God. How many people believe that there's a God? Raise your hand. Honestly, you believe that there's a God. Amen. Do you know Satan also believes that there's a God? He believes in God. But believing on. So, brother, come here for a second.
Hey.
I'm going to show you a difference of believing in and believing on. Okay? All right, have a seat.
He believes that that chair is there, right? You believe that chair? So if I pull it away, okay, have a seat. Okay? How many people think that he believes that the chair is there? Raise your hand. All right, good. Now, he believes in the chair, but he really doesn't. Let me just... He really doesn't. Why? His feet are on the ground. Now, stand up on the chair. Now, Chuck, can you jump up and down the chair? Once, please. Go ahead.
You're not taking it another.
Nope. There you go. All right. Now, he trusts that. See, it's our soul. It's like trusting our soul. Our soul trusts totally in God to be saved. Okay. But see, he didn't trust me not to kick it. The space. He wouldn't trust me not to kick it. Thank you. You can have a seat. See, we got to trust in God. See, our salvation will have us trust in, our faith will allow us to trust in God a little more. And how do we get faith? Faith cometh by, and hearing by the, can we say it together? Faith cometh by, and hearing by the, all right. The more we love the Bible, the more our faith will grow. The more things you'll be able to ask for. Well, our church is asking for God, for the government of Ontario, to give us a building. Wouldn't you like this church to be given a building by the government of Ontario? Here you go. Here's the keys. Have a happy day. We're asking for that. A heathen government, we're asking for that. And guess what? God can come through. God can come through. We've prayed for an audio man in our church. God came through. I prayed for years for a wife. God came through. Well, who would want to marry a guy like me? Amen? See, prevailing faith comes from the Word of God. Do you want to have just average faith, or you want prevailing faith? In other words, faith when God says, I'm looking for somebody to have great faith in me so something can get done. Hey, there they are. Hey, there is First International Baptist Church in Toronto, one of the most heathen cities in the world. And there's a group of people with great faith. Hey, I think your pastor has great faith. I love your pastor. He's an awesome guy. I want him, if I die before he dies, I want him to be one of the pallbearers and one of the speakers at my funeral. I love your preacher. He's got great faith. His wife and kids got great faith. Hey, do you have great faith? Well, I don't know how to get great faith. By going to the Word of God, by loving the Word of God. Faith cometh by? Yes. And hearing by the? Yes. Word of God. What are you doing Wednesday night?
Go to church.
You don't work, get to church. We'll be late. Hey, you know what? Everyone is from here over, we're late today. You made it. I almost was late, man. I was doing the Baptist speed limit. I almost was late. But I made it. Better late than never, amen? So what? You missed a couple of songs at the beginning. It's not about the songs, by the way. Church is not all about the songs. Church is not all about the fellowship. Church is not all about the fun. Church is not all about getting dressed up. Church is not all about getting in a nice air-conditioned building when it's hot outside. Church is about the Word of God. Faith cometh by, and hearing by the Word of God. See, if a man wants to have faith, great faith, prevailing faith, a man or a woman who wants to be a faithful... By the way, faith produces faithfulness. Did you understand that? Faith produces faithfulness. How do we get faith? Faith comes by and hearing by the Word of God. Do you read your Bible tomorrow? Are you going to get up and read your Bible tomorrow? Ooh. Hey, have you ever just read your Bible till your heart burns? A couple of months ago, Monday morning, are usually my light day. I try not to schedule any meetings because, you know, you're tired from Sunday. Tomorrow, I'm not doing anything. But I got home and I started reading my Bible and I realized I have to leave to go do my afternoon school bus run. And I got home at 9. I had to leave at 2:30. Man, I just read and read and read and read and read and read. I mean, I was having a good old time. I read about them crossing the Red Creek. I mean, sea. People do still think it was a creek, not a sea. And I read them. I read it when they said it crossed. They crossed upon dry ground. I believe it. By the way, the Bible, when you love it, it will be literal to you. And when the Bible says dry ground, it was dry. Man, I imagine them going across, and sometimes I'll just play the what I read out in my head. I'm a dreamer. I love that, man. I imagined our dear brothers going across and going to the one side of the wall and putting their hands in the water, and running to the other side, putting their hands in the water, man. And I imagined that, and what a blessing! I just had a time with the Lord. I had a spell. I looked and go, oops, I better go. I didn't want to go, but I had to. Number two, the Bible will not only affect our faith, it will affect our conviction. There are too many Christians like the world. I said there's too many Christians like the world. The Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. We can't come out from among them if we're like them. We can't. How do we come out from among them? By loving the Word of God. By letting the Word of God wash over our convictions and say, okay, this I used to do. But the old man is gone. The old man's dead and buried in the new man. See, when I die and I get thrown in the ground, I don't want to get dug up. I used to work security, be head of security for the Belleville General Hospital, and they had to do a exhumation of the body. Is that what they call it? Exhumation? But they had to redig up the body because it was in the grave for about 2-3 weeks. And I had to, as security, we had to stand. I was an armed guard. We had to stand actually in the autopsy room. Now, usually we kind of stood away, not facing. But I didn't. I come in and they opened up the casket, and the stench. I literally lost my lunch from a week earlier. And our sin is the stench in God's eyes, in God's nostril. Our sin is stench in God's nostrils. See, we need to have convictions of what is right and what's wrong. Christianity today has become like the world 5 years ago. Whatever happened to the old-fashioned singing? I like the old-fashioned hymns. Man, there's some hymns that you guys were singing this morning. I didn't know. But churches today, they got drum sets, they got laser lights, they got rocks. Man, whatever happened to the old-fashioned conviction? Whatever happened to the old-fashioned preaching? I think I scared that girl from down the pulpit and screaming a bit. You know, whatever happened? We go to a ball game, we go to a hockey game, and our team scores. Yay! Well, why don't we ever do that for God? We get people in knickers and a knot if we sing a song that's not in their hymn book. Oh. But if it's Christ-like, it's okay. We have put God in a little box. I like your services. It starts at 2 o'clock. It's almost 4 o'clock, and I ain't even remotely done, and hopefully you guys will give me some time. You guys don't worry about the clock. Don't ever lose that. God ever grants you a building, don't ever lose that. Seriously, don't ever lose that. Jennifer Galliarza, she came here once. She's a member of our church. She came here once. She said, you know what she said the greatest thing about this church is? They don't care about the time. They just preach. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose that. Men, work on sermons every day. How long have you been saved? You wrote a sermon?
No.
Get one wrote. Stop.
study. The Bible says study to shew thyself approved unto God. That's not an order to preachers. That's an order to every Christian. Ladies, get a sermon. I'm not saying you should preach in front of men. Don't get me wrong. But right, you got a daughter, preach to your daughter. You're going to hopefully have about 40 kids. Preach to your kids. Notice they didn't say amen. But love the Bible. We have to have the convictions of the Word of God. See, aren't you glad God, Jesus Christ, had the conviction that He must come down to die on the cross of Calvary for us to be saved? I guess nobody's excited about that. Can I ask that question again? Maybe you guys might wake up. Aren't you glad God had, Jesus Christ had the conviction that He had to come down, live a sinless life, die on the cross, a horrible, painful death for your sins? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
See, you ever been in a Catholic church? They got the little bit of blood down the side of Jesus like this in the cross, and long-haired looking like a girl. Jesus didn't look. The Bible says that His sides were ripped apart. You could see His ribcage. His bowels were hanging out. He didn't even look like a man. And He went through that for you. And yet we don't care enough to read His book. That hurts. We don't care enough to have the proper convictions. By the way, with the proper convictions, that leads me to my next point. We'll have the number three. We'll have the proper thinking. Our thoughts will be proper. Our actions will be proper. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of thy wounds giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. You can't get any simpler than me. I ain't a smart man. I'm being very honest with you. I ain't a smart man. I did not graduate summa cum laude from high school. I was pulling 60s and 70s. I had a couple of 80s and 190. But I'm an average guy. And it gives wisdom to the simple. You ever read something in the Bible and it goes, oh, I can use that. It's like a light went boom on your head. And you're like, wow, I can use that. See, before I got saved, I thought I could be a good person to get to heaven. But the Bible changed my thinking. The Bible says five things that we must understand to get saved. And I'm going to wrap up with this. I didn't even remotely come close to the end of my notes, but I'm going to wrap up with this because I feel led to shut this down and go this way. You and I aren't good enough to get to heaven. There's none righteous, no, not one. Jesus, if we were Jesus Christ, would not have to die that cruel tree. It was not a bullet to the head. He was spit on. His hair was ripped out of his face. Men, have you ever used the electric razor to pull the hair? Man, that hurts. Can you imagine a whole beard pulled out of your face? Why? For you and I. Why? Because we can't make our own way to heaven. Second thing that we have to realize is that we're sinners. For how many of us? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what sin is? You mentioned the Ten Commandments. I sat back there and I chuckled. There's 613 Old Testament commandments. You're just hunting a little bit. And for us to be perfect, we'd have to do all 613 Old Testament commandments. Do you know any more than 10? 613 of them. We know 10. So there's 603 more that we have to be perfect. That's just the Old Testament. But we're not. Sin is anything you say, do, or think that goes against God's Word. How do you know what God's Word said if you don't love it and desire to read it? The third thing that we must understand is the Bible says, for the wages of sin, one sin is death. How many people have ever sinned in their lives? Raise your hand, all believe, be honest. God bless you. You deserve to die. Name a sin, sir. Lying. Come on up here. Name a sin, sir.
Coming.
Come on up here. Sir, name a sin.
Cheating.
Come on up here. Brought these three guys up here for a reason. Okay? What was your sin? Lying?
He's dead.
Lay down. What's your sin? You mind to lay down? He's dead. You mind to lay down? He's dead. For the wages of sin, death. But it's not talking your heart's doctrine. It's talking eternal separation from God in a little place called hell. I want everybody to close your eyes for a second. I want you to imagine, everyone please trust me on this, close your eyes. Imagine this place on fire that you can't get out. And you can smell burnt flesh. And your flesh is burning, but you're not burning, you're not deteriorating. Got that picture in your mind? How many people got that picture in your mind? You can hear the screams. You know what? Look at me here. That's a little bit of what hell is going to be like. For the wages of sin is? Young men? The wages of sin is?
Death.
But, ooh, I love this. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. We must accept the fact that God died for you. How do we accept it? Here we go. There's a gift I can give you. Young lady, if I'm going to give you my credit card, it's a platinum credit card. It has a $50,000 limit on it. Do you want it? Hold on, man. Abby, when does it become yours? When she takes it. Heaven is worth much more than a platinum credit card. How do we take it? For God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon God to save your soul.
O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
And save my wretched soul. And
save my wretched soul.
And he gets what? What happens? He rises. A new creature. O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Save me.
All right. And he gets saved. O Lord, save my wretched soul.
Oh Lord, save my wretched soul.
And guess what? He gets saved. You say that's easy? It's that easy? Yep. In repentance and faith, we must ask Christ. The repentance is our life, our mind changing how we ought to be saved. Thank you, gentlemen. I got saved November 1st, 1988, 4:35 p.m., and there's been no other greater life. Why? Because there's that love, that book that you hold in your hand is my love. It became that day my love letter from God. Every head bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around today. I'm going to ask you simply right now, if you're not saved today, June 2nd at 3:52, you're saying, preacher, I need to be saved. I need to be saved, and I want to be saved. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. I know if I was dying in a fiery craft going home today, we'd be walking through the pearly gates in heaven. Is there anybody here today says, preacher, I need to be saved? Is there anybody here today? For those who are not saved, the Bible says appointed once a man to die, then comes the judgment. You could die today. Last chance. For those who are saved, you say, preacher, I need to love my Bible a little more. I need to start reading it a little more. I need to start applying it in my life a little more. I need to start telling others a little bit more. Say, preacher, pray for me. Is there anybody here today? All over this room. Amen, 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 amen. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to look up here for me for a second.